will be recorded as well, so we might as well start the recording at this stage.
Yep. Prep board and GAC preparation scheduled originally for 16:10 to 17:10 was the original schedule.
Thanks, everyone. So there's really, I'll make a couple of remarks, and then I'm going to put up some slides I've worked on a little. These slides. So there, I have had a couple of discussions, I think, with Heather Dryden, chair of the GAC, with the members of the board GAC working group on implementation, the BGRIWG. And those discussions have, as you know, resulted in our meeting in Beijing when we spoke with the GAC about the GAC's perspective, better engagement with, closer engagement with the PDP process and in general the work of the council and the policy work going on within the GNSO. That was a constructive meeting, I thought, in Beijing, and there were a couple of suggestions that came out of that. And the GAC is certainly keen to progress with those. With the board, there have been... I'm pretty keen to take the discussion two ways, really. One is to bring them up to date with the work of the council, some of the initiatives we've been undertaking, some of the current activity. I'm not sure that the board is aware of the sort of dynamism and the nature of the council's work and some of the positive things we're doing, and then I think there's two or three items we'd like to discuss with them. I'll put those up in front of you and you can affirm those and or add to or delete them. So I think it may be, I'm not sure which to do first. I suspect it's not absolutely critical which order we take these in. Let me take the GAC first, if you'll indulge me on that one. I think the frame of that meeting is clearer. So let me take that with you, and then we can see, and we can move on to that with the board. So I'll put this slide up, which is my, as I say, it's really my preparatory notes for that, but I think it'll be useful to inform the discussion as well. So basically, and I think you've seen a version of this on the list, we really have an opportunity here the structure of the meeting proposed is that we'll say that the GNSO, we'll talk about from the council perspective some issues, and based on this morning's discussion, I've tweaked that a little bit. We'll hear back from the GAC on their latest work, and then the third component of the meeting is to talk with the GAC to move on from Beijing on engagement with the GNSO policy process. So those are the three components, nominally with kind of equal weighting, and here are some suggestions for what we've got a relatively open ticket, what we say from the GNSO, from the council, ourselves. What they have requested is an update on the NGO PDP. So that's certainly something which we need some time for. Based on, Brian, your input to us now, I wonder, we probably need to allocate... If these are, I'm just going to nominally work on these three main bullets here from the GNSO, from the GAC, and GAC engagement, the GNSO policy, as being approximately 1/3 each. We've got a 90-minute session, so that looks like 30 minutes each. And if that's the case, Brian, your little presentation summarizing, Brian Peck, just to make sure I've got your attention, your presentation that you gave earlier, I mean, I think that we probably need to give 15 minutes to that, given of that 30-minute slot. I mean, it took you, I would say, approximately 10 minutes to walk through that. And, I mean, we want to highlight the work that's been done, where we've got to date, and some of the innovations and the attention we're paying to it. I mean, it's clear and it's on the table that the GAC, in some ways, doesn't particularly want the GNSO to even be working on this. But to the extent that we are, which we are, I think we want to demonstrate the professionalism, thoroughness, and innovation with which we're working with it. So the question is, really, And we've been asked by the GAC. So this isn't, I haven't put this on. They've asked us to come back to them. So the question is, what sort of time do we need for that? John, if you want to make a comment.
I didn't pick it up when you were making your presentation this morning, but there was a consolidated IGO paper that was issued by the OECD in the early part of, July 10. Have you seen that? Is that seen it?
No, I have not.
All right, so I'll forward it to you. Okay. It was sent to me. It speaks specifically, it speaks about a lot of stuff, but it focuses on the notion of acronyms. And so I would guess that the conversation with the GAC will focus quite sharply on, no matter what you're doing, if you're not dealing with the acronyms, then you're not doing what it is we need you to do. So I don't know, where are we with regard to answering a question like that and acronyms for the protections?
Well, actually, that's helpful, John, that question, and B, if anyone anticipates any other specific or challenging questions that we should be prepared to deal with, that's helpful to hear now. So, yeah.
Thanks, John. That actually is one of the core issues that is going to be the focus of the public session on Wednesday. Should acronyms be protected at either the top or second level? And the various propositions that are being considered by the working group are covered in that. So we can definitely address how it's being currently handled by the working group if that question is raised tomorrow. I think we could also briefly raise, and depending how much they want to get into it, as you know, this is a discussion going on between the GAC and the board as well. Both the GAC and the board are struggling with this issue. And I think, one area where the working group has been leaning towards, is that, the concept of a trademark clearinghouse or a clearinghouse model as a way to, provide protection to these organizations for their acronyms rather than an outright reservation or barring of the registration of acronyms. And to the extent that the IGOs have been working with the working group, they have also indicated, a willingness to consider that model as an alternative to outright protection. And my understanding is even within some members of the GAC, they're also willing to consider that as an alternative to outright protection of those names. So we could certainly say that, here's an area that the working group is being creative in trying to come up with a solution, and that's something that the IGOs have at least indicated some willingness to consider or support, at least within the working group. But it is also an issue, that is the subject of where they're trying to get some guidance from the community in the public discussion session on Wednesday.
So just to make it, to recap then, we've got, the question is what topics do we, in our opportunity to say, here's an update from the GNSO, the GAC said, look, we want to hear from you on the INGO stuff, we have an opportunity to introduce our own topics. Based on what I heard this morning, I'm proposing to put in a few slides on this, on the PDP process, and talk to them about that. The question is also, one of the things I'd like to do, Chuck, I'll come to you in 1 minute, in both of these, is divide up the work a little bit. I don't want to be the one who stands there and represents the GNSO Council, the GNSO and everything. So to the extent that this can be sort of spread amongst us in whatever way, I'm very happy to have volunteers or to attempt to delegate it myself. So I've put policy and implementation as a third bullet in there. It's square bracketed, meaning could stay, could go. In fact, with the INGO PDP and a comment on the PDP process, we may have enough for our 30 minutes, especially with a bit of interaction on either of those. So over to you, Chuck.
Thanks, Jonathan. Chuck Gomes from VeriSign. First of all, on the PDP process, and you're probably way ahead of me on this, you recall this morning that Jeff Newman suggested that we communicate at least some of Marika's presentation on some of the stats. I think doing that for the GAC would be very smart. Now, I wouldn't do the whole presentation because I wouldn't go into the detail of all the things we're thinking about for improvements. I would just probably mention that we're brainstorming on lots of ways to improve the PDP, but we'd like you to see some stats of overall PDP processes and how long they take, including the stat with regard to the CCNSO, because all the criticism right now is focusing on the GNSO and the PDP process there, and the work you did on that was outstanding. So I would highly suggest under PDP process that you show at least a couple of the slides from that show the facts about the PDP, because they don't know it. Most of the community doesn't know it, and most of us didn't know all those things because we're down in the nuts and bolts of it. So I highly suggest you do that with the GAC. Wouldn't take very long, but it would be really important information to get out on the PDP process.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. I thought when you said I'm probably way ahead of you, I thought there's probably no chance, but in fact I am. and that's exactly what I intend there. I mean, in that first bullet, although it was on the basis of the method, the receive that received this morning, and in fact we discussed it and others. But so certainly under that first sub-bullet from the GNSO, I envisage putting up some of the slides from Marika's presentation or an edited version of that and talking to those slides. So, and then we go into the INGO PDP. Question is, that's probably enough for that first session. What I could do as the third bullet is make reference to the document which summarizes the current work that staff produced in advance of this meeting. I'm not sure. Is there any other point that we should make to the GAC about the current work of the GNSO that we feel they should be cognizant of, whether it's how we're working, what we're doing, or what we anticipate doing. For example, we could talk about the fact that we have various improvements coming along over and above to the PDP process. Any other thoughts or comments on what you'd like to see in that section? Okay, so hearing none, we will either stick with those two, or if I can think of Wolfgang, did you have something you wanted to add?
Do you want already to close, or do we go point by point?
No. Sorry. So I wanted to give you a sense of what it looked like, then make sure you had the three main bullets. Now we're under the three sub-bullets from the GNSO. I then want to come work my way down to, well, I'm not going to say what the GAC's going to tell us, but certainly I'm going to come on to the third bullet, which is GAC engagement with GNSO policy. So if you're on that, we'll come to that in just a moment. Okay, so I'm going to close off that first bullet. I'm going to talk about the PDP process with grateful acknowledgement of Marika's sterling work on preparing those slides. We'll hear from Brian on the INGO PDP. And if any of you have any thing that wakes you up in the middle of the night or in the next 5 minutes, please tell me about a third bullet if you want something in there. I think we've probably got enough to fill up our first half hour with a bit of exchange. We'll then hear from the GAC and an update on their latest work and advice. And then third, we have the opportunity to talk about their engagement with GNSO policy. I'll produce another slide here which has a bit more detail. Now, this has become slightly confusing in that there's the Board GAC Recommendation Implementation Working Group. This is one of the areas they focused on. It was their intention to meet later today. I can blow this up a little bit if that helps. Let me just blow this up for you guys so we can see. We're really now focusing in on that third bullet, the GNSO PDP process in relation to the GAC. And what I thought we could do there was have a brief walkthrough of the current engagement points. Now, Marika, I think we've got something on that, haven't we? And we've sent it to them already, so we should remind them of... fire away.
Yeah, this is Marika. I know it went, I think, to the BGRI. I'm not sure if that went as well to the whole GAC. I know we spoke about it or saying that we would develop that, but I don't know how far that went along.
Recollection is, and I'm pretty certain of this, we sent it to the BGRI working group and said, look, these are where you have current opportunities for engagement. And they said, thanks, that's really interesting. We'll circulate amongst our colleagues. I recall that. I can't be 100% sure, but that's what I recall. So I think we could talk to that briefly at the outset and say, look, there are a number. Is it a Word document or a slide? Can you remind me?
Yeah, this is Marika. It's actually a Word document that has a table, I think, with three columns. Basically, the first column says, you know, this is the point in the PDP where we ask for input. Then the column next to it says, this is how we do that. And the third column says, how would you like us to do it? Because we're not getting input, so apparently there's a missing link. And I think then the further discussion would be, is there anything missing from this list of what currently exists that we may want to consider as, you know, the last step in that conversation possibly?
Yes, and what I think we could very usefully potentially take away, and I'd love your input on this, because then we go on to the next one, which says update from the BGRI working group and related work to include, you know, where does the GAC want to be involved other than these points that we've highlighted? And one of the things that came out of our meeting with them in Beijing was this proposal for a reverse liaison. In other words, someone from the GNSO. Now, my sense of our discussion in Beijing was we were pretty positive about that. And what we mean by that is one or two people. And I think we had some volunteers. We may say it's one from either side of the two houses of the GNSO, or any responses to that? Can we go into the meeting with a response to that? Zahid and anyone else? John Barat? Zahid, John, Yoav.
Yes, I mean, I think your recollection is the same as mine, which is that we were supportive of something like that. And yes, I mean, I'd be happy to do something like that as well.
When you say happy, you mean you supported and you'd been principally prepared to volunteer?
Supporting
as well.
And volunteering.
John.
The overlap of the meeting schedules suggests that anybody we appoint as a reverse liaison is not going to be able to attend these meetings.
That's not
the issue. Yeah. It's just a practical matter. Yeah. Right?
It's a point. Good point, John. Yoav, I assume you had something to say, but you may want to respond to that as well.
It's actually responding to this because if you maybe remember, my idea was that it will be easier if we have two. So if someone can't attend, it's always better to have two people from the GAC, two from the GNSO. They don't have to call it a liaison.
Let me just stop you there a moment. I don't want to break your thought, but the proposal, as I understand it at the moment, when they talk about a reverse liaison, they mean someone from the council or potentially from the council, potentially from the GNSO, liaising with the GAC and being available to talk about what's going on. I don't envisage that they will have a they actually have the current opportunity to have someone here at our table, which they don't avail themselves of, to be clear.
Well,
okay, so go ahead.
If that's one option, and then John's comment is totally true, because no one from here will be able to sit in both places. But my idea was maybe to try and form some kind of joint committee that talks to each other once a month or something like that. Two people from the GNSO, two from the GAC, to just get together on a call for an hour and talk. Then the people from the GAC can go back and report. That's easier. I don't know. That's an option. Maybe it's not the best one, but just raising.
Okay. I understood the proposal to be looking for one or two volunteers from the council to be available to liaise with the GAC. How that takes place, and maybe that's something we want to talk about tomorrow. I think Brian, I'll come to you. Maybe what we could say is we're receptive, but the mechanics need to be fleshed out and just hear a little more. Brian.
I'm just wondering if it's possible. I mean, do we need someone there all the time shadowing what the GAC's doing, or someone who just goes for part of one of our sessions to give them an update on what we're doing at the council and to seek their feedback on particular projects?
I think I was understanding possibly more the latter, which deals with John's concern then a little more, but I don't know. We didn't necessarily flesh it out, so it's open to interpretation.
And I also think that it's I do think the understanding is that they're looking for council members to go brief the GAC, not necessarily anything in reverse. And I'm also happy to volunteer, actually, if you need someone else as well.
Thank you, Brian. What about my comment that maybe just from a council point of view, just to think about, I mean, maybe we probably don't need to resolve this now, but, you know, where do is there any merit in those volunteers coming from different houses within the council, or is it irrelevant where those two volunteers come from? Any strength of feeling on that in either direction? Zahid?
I think that would become problematic, because then we have these weighted issues and stuff like that. Then we need at least two or four, or, you know, I mean, that'll just become. So the council has to sort of put their faith into somebody and say, right, you know, your job is just to bring facts back and submit facts. And if there's an issue on policy, you better make sure that the council is behind you, depending on what you say to them. You can't go off on your own tangent.
Fine. And so my sense is then, reading that, if that's the position, that we are looking for more than one, probably two, so that two can do the job, and in a sense perhaps provide some sort of check and balance on each other and just some sort of cover as well. So that all seems very, very sensible to me. Any other comments or issues arising from that? Jen, I sense you may have something, or you...
No, I agree with Brian's point. I don't think it has to be somebody sitting there all the time. I think having one or two people that could report and having some checks and balances makes a lot of sense. So I was just agreeing.
Right. All right. So I think we have a form of consensus here. John, you're about to...
John Burrard, Business Constituency. That's great. I think that Brian's idea, Jen's second, terrific. Just keep in mind that the reason that we have gotten to this point is that they can't call one person out of that herd to represent the GAC. So I suspect that two does not solve that particular problem.
Let me make sure we clear. Let me finish.
Sure. Then. So the reason that they don't avail themselves of the GNSO liaison is that no one member of the GAC. They can't even speak for their own government until they get approval from the government, so they can't really speak for all of them until they go through that whole process. And so it puts them in an awkward spot when they're asked questions before all that process is taken care of. Even if we have two people meeting with two people to kick things around, I'm not sure that solves their problem.
Okay, so here's my understanding of it. Here's my veneer of interpretation on this. My understanding is that the objective of these liaisons is to provide GNSO-related updates to the GAC. It is a reverse liaison from the GNSO to the GAC. The GAC is not looking to match those liaisons with two of their own, for specifically, in part, the reasons that you talk about. Now, my question then does loop back to your point. If we're going to do that, I'm not sure the GAC meets intersessionally. So when the hell are they going to hear from? But maybe we just have to carve out a bit of the schedule. Maybe it's at 6 o'clock after a long Saturday that these two poor liaisons go across to the GAC and give half an hour update of the GNSO. It's the practicalities of how it's going to work. Zahid, did you have something to say? Or
yeah, my understanding is they do have intersessional calls. They have con calls. They don't just meet in the face to face meetings.
Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong. But
then so be it. Then that's. That, I mean, I see Avery nodding, and so there is. Okay, so we on that understanding, I think where we've got to is we're proposing to have two from amongst us. Had a couple of volunteers already, haven't decided it. I recall Wolfgang, you might have volunteered in the past, but maybe I'm imagining that. But we've certainly had some names. We've had more than two names in the hat already, so that's great. I think we can usefully discuss this with the GAC and go back to them and say we're positive about this. We're receptive. So that's great. There's another question on these bullets, which says, how will early GAC input be handled? Now, I don't know whether we're in any kind of position to answer this point at this stage, and so I would suggest that if it does come up, we haven't really got to that yet. But these are the live questions. It's, you know, when might the GAC be involved? How will their input be handled? They need to understand the volume of work. There is a response to reverse liaison and default timeline for shared GNSO PDP steps. I'm not quite sure I understand what my... So I think we can continue that discussion. We're a little bit disjointed because of the lack of the BGRI working group meeting and where they've gone next, but Avery, would you like to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to ask a couple questions. Avery Doria speaking. I wanted to ask a couple questions. One is, I don't understand why you all are calling it a reverse liaison. A liaison is a liaison, whether it's a liaison from this group to there or a liaison from that group to here. So I don't quite understand the reverse liaison, except that it somehow diminishes your role in doing a liaison to the GAC. The other thing is, I actually have difficulty understanding how it would work unless that liaison, or one of the two, if that's what you're offering, are actually there while they're meandering through their work. And when an issue comes up that they're discussing, can sort of say, the conversations in the GNSO have been blah, 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 and they can come back to the GNSO and say, you know, they were talking about X, Y, Z, and these are the kinds of issues that they were bringing up. And if you're doing something like that, I can understand it working and being really valuable. But for your liaison, I can't call it a reverse liaison, for your liaison to the GAC to be such that you're appearing for a half-hour report, that kind of makes it no different than what you're doing now, which is going there at one time at one meeting. So I'm having trouble understanding how this works unless you really do a proper liaison such as, you know, ALAC has done to GNSO, where there's someone that here most of the time, they miss a little bit because of other important. But I think if you're going to send a liaison to the GAC, you should send it as an equal who's sending a liaison to another group and not sort of mush it around. But that's just a thought.
Thanks, Avery. They're good thoughts. And two thoughts in response before I open it to others. The reverse liaison comes from the perception that the GAC would send a liaison to us, but that's not how they work. And this is a discussion of how they, it's their perspective, how they might work with the GNSO, I think hence the concept of reverse liaison. That's just by way of explanation. I accept its clumsy terminology. Second, to your point of how it might work, I don't think we've fleshed that out yet, and we quite know what our mutual expectations are. So there's an opportunity to discuss that a little more. And my sense is of what we'd be going into tomorrow is saying, yes, good idea, we're receptive, we're open, because I suppose where we're coming from here is that the relationship between the GNSO and the GAC is up for discussion. It's how we might engage and work more effectively. So there isn't a presumed existing way of working, and that's what's being discussed. It's how do they better engage with the policy process, perhaps mindful of the criticism that they've coming in way too late and torpedoing policy process via their advice to the board, and so we could take it positively and say, well, they're trying not to come in too late. I realize for some there's a fear that they of them coming in too early and just stopping any progress being made. So thoughts?
Hi there, this is Evan subbing as liaison for Alan. ALAC has also been talking to the GAC about some kind of a liaison relationship, and definitely that kind of thing is worthwhile. But I think there's a useful link to be made between the conversation that's being had now and the one earlier about the defense of the PDP. And that is to have something where you either get in knee-deep with a multi-year commitment to being able to be there for 1 a.m. phone calls, or you miss out. May be a bit of a binary choice that, for instance, people like GAC reps are not able to make. Perhaps there's some particular kinds of policy processes where some kind of a different method could be used, where, say, you make a brief stop at occasional points where various groups can come in. Again, this is something, to use your term, hasn't been totally fleshed out, but something that allows this kind of, I won't call it lightweight, but lighter weight involvement in the process that allows somebody like a GAC member to be able to come in without having to make that intense contribution of time that's necessary of the other members. Just thinking that might be, that's the kind of thing we're trying to engage with them in.
Thanks, Evan. I'm just making a quick note of that. Are there any responses to that that feel that, you know, testing the temperature, that anyone think that that's, you know, because clearly the feedback we've had from the GAC previously is it just, for whatever reason, doesn't suit our working style, our methods, our mechanics to get right into the PDP process as a working group member. It's not the way it's going to work. So any responses to, I don't want to mischaracterize Evan's proposal of some form, but it's effectively a lighter weight engagement with the PDP process and the working group model.
As opposed to none.
Wolfgang, go ahead.
Yes, you know, I think Ivan puts the finger in the right direction. So we are in a process of enhancing communication and collaboration. And I think we have to differentiate between two different elements. One is the enhanced communication, which means they inform us about their activities at an early stage and we inform them at an early stage about our activities. So this does not yet mean full inclusion into policy development processes, but it's good to know at an early stage, you know, various opinions, information, and things like that. So that means the enhanced collaboration, you know, which means the inclusion into the bottom-up development processes for policy would be, you know, certainly a higher level. And at this stage, we have really very low level of communication between the GAC and the GNSO Council. And probably, you know, one way could be also that we start issue-based forms of enhancing communication and collaboration. There are some issues which are of higher priority for the GAC and some issues which are of lower priority for the GAC. And, you know, in particular, the intergovernmental organizations and all this is of high priority for the GAC. And so this could be a good case to improve it, because I expect some very tough discussions with the GAC on this intergovernmental organization issues, because, you know, they gave an advice and they expected there is no need for a policy development process. And now we have the policy development process, and let's wait and see, you know, what will be the outcome. But this could be a good example to say, okay, if we would have started earlier to communicate, we could have avoided this clash. So that means this is really, let's say, a confidence-building measure which allows us to avoid conflicts at a later stage of a PDP.
Okay, I see Avery's what would like to make a contribution. I'm conscious that we should probably wrap things up at this stage. So Avery, go ahead, and then I'll
Thank you. Avery Doria speaking again. Twice in one day, it's way too much. I just wanted to point out, and you'll probably get more of this when you have the discussion with the ATRT 2 coming in, but one of the issues that they've taken up, especially at the request of GAC members, is the whole PDP and their participation in it and ways to participate. So I just wanted to throw that in the pile, that the issue, and it's something that they're actually looking for an outside consultant to actually come in and help us think about further. So just that's part of the whole equation of this discussion.
Avery, thanks. That's a very helpful heads up. And I suppose where I'm coming from and where I'm thinking and where I hope we should all be thinking is in, you know, it's very healthy if there are outputs coming from ATRT2 or any other areas. But to the extent that we can anticipate these ourselves and start to implement the productive, constructive changes that anticipate these, all the better. So wouldn't it be great if the ATRT2, by the time they get to make their recommendations, we've done it all anyway? I'm being slightly flippant about that, but in a sense, that's what I'd quite like us to achieve. So we're seen to be, proactively self-improving rather than waiting for some external review team to come and tell us what to do. Great. Thanks very much. One of the things that's missing here is perhaps a diversity of contribution. I may even go on list and try and solicit some input from someone. For example, I'm wondering if there's any volunteers or anyone who you might think we could volunteer to do the brief walkthrough of the current engagement points and opportunities to input. Of course, Marika could do it, but and ideally it might come from other councillors. So if anyone Yeah, our absent friend in the great tradition of volunteering someone, we could volunteer Jeff, since he's has made substantial claims to being an architect of the PDP process and so on. Maybe we'll do that. All right, absent any other volunteers, we may volunteer Jeff. Right, so moving on to the board. In a way, it's quite a neat segue, because what we have with the board is essentially a two-component meeting envisaged here. What I want to try and achieve, and I'll put this slide up, is let me just say what the two components are. One is to communicate what we're doing well as a council. And you might think, well, why do you want to do that? And I think you've heard quite a few times through the course of this morning about misperceptions that exist within the community about various elements of the way in which we may be working or not working, as the case may be. And for me, one of the things I'd love to achieve is in some way communicating where we're doing things well. That's not to say I want to be unduly defensive or not open to where we could do things better, but I'd like to do that. So that's really phase one of our communication with the board. And then phase two of the meeting should be to pick up some key issues. Now, I've notionally got three issues up here that I'd like us to talk about. What I've picked up from this morning is that we could probably usefully talk about the motion on the ICANN bylaw recommendation, or at least the underlying principles of it, rather than necessarily the motion, and see where that discussion leads us. We could put some of the slides on the in the similar summary as we plan to do the GAC on the PDP as broken issue. And then my first bullet point there is around the multi-stakeholder model and the extent to which the multi-stakeholder model is being used as, if you like, a defense of ICANN, and it's being upheld. And so in order to uphold that and not pay lip service to the multi-stakeholder model, you know, how does the GNSO feel about our role being respected and appreciated? So those seem to me like three talking points I've kind of either gathered from discussing with people or divined a little bit. But are those the three that we really should be talking with the board about? Does anyone feel strongly that any of those shouldn't be being discussed or should be? Are there any volunteers to lead any of those three other than myself? Yes, Zahid.
Definitely not volunteering. Thank you. But the issue about bringing up the motion, I think, will be helpful because it'll help us in our discussions on Wednesday. So I think that's definitely something that should be up there. There may be thoughts and insights that the board may have which will inform our debate.
Thanks, Zahid. Any other support for any of those points, for them staying on the list or being removed? Anyone feel strongly? Jen?
Yes, Jennifer Wolf. I just want to agree with Zahid. I think the bylaw recommendation should definitely be discussed. It's a great opportunity to get some feedback before Wednesday. And I also think that when you frame that, Jonathan, we should take out – there was a lot of political discussion going on today about how it was worded and really focus in on just the importance of getting some rationale back from the board when they don't agree, because I think that's the underlying issue to the motion. So I think if you could be careful to frame that discussion so we don't get off on a tangent and really use that limited amount of time we have to get their real feedback on the underlying concept.
Jen, I appreciate it. I mean, so really we're talking about a principle, and also, I think it's critical here in that, you know, I don't like the sound of my own voice. I'd be very happy to say nothing. Clearly, I will say something, but to the extent that any of you want to chime in at that on these points, ideally we have a topic leader and we may still manage to pull that out of this, but, you know, there's a danger here that we'll have Jeff as the topic leader on that, which could be a good thing, but it could be that someone else, maybe who's not the maker of the motion, might be better placed to introduce it. It may give it a degree more neutrality. How do we feel about presenting the PDP is broken slides and giving a little bit of a heads up as to what we might be able to do to improve that? Because I think there's a broad-based perception, including at the board level, that our processes don't work well and aren't as fast as they could or should be. And so to me, it seems like that could well be another point of discussion that we could usefully share with the board. Chuck has got a thumbs up there. Any other So, well, in the absence of dissent, I think that's going to stay on the list. How do we feel about the GNSO being representative of the multi-stakeholder model and being, you know, this? I'm not sure my thoughts are as well formed about this one, but certainly we've probably got quite a lot in the first two, and it may be that that's more a theme than a specific topic. Anyone else? David?
I just wanted to make a suggestion for a possible other topic. Do we want to actually talk to the board about the whole reconsideration request issue? Because and we appreciate that we've sort of dealt with it at a formal level, but I think it would actually be valuable to get some sort of informal discussion from the board about how they think it happened, what, you know, will they think that will happen again, and you know, how they feel about their perspective on the whole issue.
Okay, so two thoughts here. One is I'm conscious actually that Joy made a point that earlier, and she's not in the room at the moment, about a potential topic for the board. I think if we are to talk about the reconsideration request, we need to be very specific about what we're talking about there. As I understand it, it's on our agenda to talk. It is specifically on our agenda to talk to the ATRT2 team about that, and that's about the reconsideration process as an accountability and transparency tool. So that's our intention there. As regard to the other issue, well, I suppose in a sense the outcome has been achieved there, in that what was desired was to modify the rationale such that it didn't set an unsatisfactory precedent. So I'm just wondering what we would talk with them about. That's really.
Well, I mean, why do they think they came up with a rationale that we found so problematic? How do they think we can avoid that happening in the future? I don't know. I mean, that was just a suggestion. I feel that we've dealt with it at a formal level, but there could still be some value in sort of, you know, informally just hearing from individual board members how they felt about the issue. Is it something that they feel, was it just a one-off, or do they think it does show, you know, longer-term issues with the process and that sort of thing? But, I mean, I'm happy to take it off. I mean, I'm sure that particular issue will be addressed with the board in other discussions in other forums several times over the week. So it was just a suggestion.
David, I appreciate it. And I've got two other thoughts. One is I'm loath to, in a sense, ambush them with something that they didn't know was coming down the track. There's also another issue, and that's that the portion of the board that dealt with this was not the whole board. I think maybe I'm wrong there, but... Yeah, it's the BG. So there's issues there that I feel perhaps we aren't as well framed. Yeah, okay. Any other thoughts or comments on the topics we've got at the moment and how we might interact with the board?
Completely off point, it might be. So with apologies before I begin. You know, last time in the public open sessions, we heard a lot about the plural and the singular and things of that nature, and it's out of our hands now. That was a board decision. And the board is actually, in a sense, taking a decision not to do anything about it. Does the GNSO feel any, you know, does it want to ask the board whether they will be doing anything about it? Is it something we even want to consider? Because it's one of the things, I'm tracking the GAC transcripts as they're going along. It's been going on for now 40 minutes talking about just that one issue. So I'm just, I don't know. I mean, I wanted to see whether anybody thought that was a useful point.
There may be a higher level point with that encompasses that one, Zahid, which is, and I also haven't thought this one through, but this is the fact that is one example, perhaps, where the guidebook had a certain... There was a certain understanding in and around what the guidebook said. And I'm not actually that knowledgeable about this particular issue. But then later, so maybe that's the bigger issue, is that the changes relative to the guidebook and the reliability of that whole process. But again, I would have the same caveat as I said with David. I'm a little nervous to sort of throw in something which is potentially legal implications and we haven't forewarned them about. So... All right. Well, I mean, I feel relative. I think, given the discussion that we had on the it's not strictly correct to call it the bylaw recommendations. Really, it's the feedback with the board and/or the staff when it goes against GNSO policy work. Whether that's is something that we managed to spend a lot of time on, and I suspect we could well have an interesting discussion with the board. So we've possibly got enough to talk about already. I haven't seen us run out of things to talk about in sessions with the board, especially if we're going to have some introductory stuff which talks about, gives them a little bit of an update on what's going on with the GNSO Council and the policy work within the GNSO from the horse's mouth, as it were. So that sounds like we're in reasonably good shape for both of those meetings. I'm going to probably have to burn the midnight oil a little bit on shaping them up and maybe dragging some of you into the fray, but perhaps that's enough on that for now, which usefully brings us back on track as far as our sessions are concerned. I know it's a long day, and we're in a windowless room. I don't know quite what to suggest. I think what we're going to do is probably, let me tell you what I will suggest. What I think we're going to do is try and cut out one session and roll it over to tomorrow, but at least we will continue for the moment and we'll try and wrap up around 6:15 rather than push it right through till 6:30. So we'll try and cut half an hour out of this. I'll do some work with Wolf Ulrich here. But in the meantime, let's get on with the report from James and Mikey. I'm not sure who's delivering that on IRTP Part D. Since it's you, Mikey. So if we can just stop the recording and...